Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 39, and I'll read verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I'll not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I want us to think this morning of the compassionate Jesus. Jesus said in verse 32, I have compassion on the multitude. As we look at these scriptures, we understand that Jesus has departed the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and that he's traveled near to the Sea of Galilee, and that he went up into a mountain and he sat down there. I have no doubt that Jesus was weary and tired from his constant preaching and teaching and exposure to the masses that had crowded around him for the days prior to this going into the mountain. He had been in the very midst of humanity, dealing with problems that all humans have. And all of us know that when we're in the midst of many people dealing with their problems constantly, that this will soon weary a person. And so Jesus was tired, weary, and he went into a mountain. And of the very few times in the Bible of our Lord and Savior, we read that he sat down there. But in spite of his seeking some solitude, the Bible tells us that the multitudes found him and came to him. And they brought the lame, that is, people who were crippled in their feet. And they brought the blind and the dumb, that is, the deaf people, and the maimed. And this word maimed here means bent or crooked, and especially one's hands. And the Bible tells us that they cast these people down at Jesus' feet. And if we're not careful, we'll get the image that people brought those who were crippled and blind and deaf and who were crooked in their hands, evidently birth defects. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. We may get the idea that they've brought this refuse of humanity, these cripples and blind and deaf people, and they just throw them down at his feet with the idea of ridding themselves of these kind of people. But really, it means that they were anxious to get them to the feet of Jesus. They were doing it as an act of urgency. And so Jesus had been involved in healing these people. The Bible tells us that Jesus healed them all. Now think about that. Not a single person who came who was crippled in the feet, who could not walk away. Not a single blind person came to Jesus who didn't walk away seeing with all the fullness of sight. Not a single deaf person walked away without having the full range of hearing. And people who were bent and crooked, whose legs were bent and crooked, whose hands were bent and crooked, and they came and in the urgency and power of the moment of being at the feet of Jesus, their hands and their arms and legs and feet, they're straightened and they walk away completely whole. And the Bible tells us that when this occurred, that people were filled with wonder. It wasn't just that they were awestruck in the sense that they couldn't understand what was going on. It has more the idea that they were filled with admiration. And I can understand that, and so can you. Having heard about his powers, having heard about all that he'd done for people, and having a child or a father, mother, or some family member, or maybe some neighbor who was blind or deaf or crippled, getting them to Jesus and into his presence so that they could walk away totally healed. It must have caused a great feeling of admiration in the hearts of these people for Jesus. And it also created another problem. Because they attached themselves to Jesus. And you would expect that. They were filled with admiration and they glorified God. It was a great time. It was wonderful to be there. They didn't want to leave. Who would? Who would want to leave? If you were there in that kind of circumstance, with that kind of power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, filled with admiration for this man named Jesus, filled with just awestruck at being in his presence and seeing all these things happen, and then seeing people glorify God. There was a truth there. There was, in that moment, a real worship of God. And maybe for the first time in all of their lives, the people were really experiencing something so vitally spiritual that they really had forgot about all of their physical needs. But they'd been there for 3 days in this circumstance. That's a long period of time. And Jesus said to his disciples, he called them to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Now we usually think of Jesus having compassion on the multitude because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Or because he understood the depths of their sin and the awful things that they faced as lost people. But the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on these people because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. The word compassion, as it's used here, means to feel pain and have deep pity and emotional attachment. For 3 days, these people had been with Jesus continually, which means to remain at a place with a person. They literally weren't there for any other reason than for the person of Jesus. They've been with me continually for 3 days, and there's nothing left to eat. That's why Jesus felt this emotional pain. They're here. They haven't gone away. They're still with me. And we've already consumed the food that may have been brought by people or bought by people in this general area. And there's hardly anything left. They have nothing to eat. And then Jesus made a statement that I think demonstrates his compassion. He said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. The word faint here means to lose out or to loosen up, to be weary, exhausted, especially from failure of power. Jesus was emotionally touched because these people, a great multitude, stayed in his presence continually for 3 days and had literally lost their energy. And that's what Jesus meant. I will not send them away not having eaten anything, Because if I do, their lack of energy will cause these people to actually fall to the ground. They're going to be suffering physically if I send them away not having eaten. But when you consider the circumstances, there was too little bread and too many people. And there was no place to buy, the disciples said, so much bread. And these people are so great a multitude. And it was really, again, the problem of supply and demand. The need and the supply were miles apart. And if one looked at the statistics, you would be like the disciples, totally and completely filled with helplessness. Statistics are often barriers to faith. And look at these statistics. According to our scripture, there are 4,000 men besides women and children. There are 7 loaves and a few little fishes. That's the statistical problem. 7 or 8,000 people, 7 little fishes and a few loaves. That's a great statistical problem. And if you looked at the people and looked at the bread and fish supply, you would have been overcome with a feeling of helplessness. I'm sure that Noah felt that way when he saw the blueprints for the ark. He didn't get any help from his neighbors, and he had years to build it, but I'm sure it was an awesome task to just look at himself and look at what God wanted him to do. It looked impossible. Abraham was asked to go somewhere he didn't know where it was. You know, he was asked to go to an unknown place, and the unknown factor is a great statistical or logistical problem. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. Well, how will you know when you get there? I don't know. How long are you supposed to stay when you get there? I don't know. What's God going to do with you there? Well, he said he's going to make a great nation out of me. Moses, the Red Sea, and the Egyptian troops, and as the scriptures say, the horse and the rider, a magnificent army of people. These are logistical things. These are things that make what you're supposed to do for God an impossible task. We are humans. We see the problems as a human sees the problem. I can't see my problems the way God sees my problems. And you can't either. This church, we today in this congregation of people, we can't see the problems that we face with the eye and understanding of God Almighty. We see the solution as a human. We see the problem as a human. We see the solution as a human. In other words, we have human eyes. We have human minds. We have human hearts. We have human capacity. So when we see a problem, we see it as a human. We see the solution, we see it as a human solution. And that's our problem. Because God sees the problem as God. And God sees the solution as God, not a man. We must see what God sees. And only then can we move by faith. If I could see this whole thing as God sees it, if I could see my life and my circumstances as God sees it, I'm sure it would be two entirely different scenes. The disciples saw the problem as humans. We got a lot of people and a little bit of food. And that's a big problem. These people hadn't eaten sufficiently in 3 days. That's a long time to have done without proper nourishment. There are all kinds of serious problems that can develop out of that, even to riots. They'd just been so awestruck by being in the presence of God that they'd just forgotten their physical needs, and now these things are beginning to surface, and real problems are going to develop. And Jesus understands that, and he's filled with compassion because they've stayed with him. They've seen it through. They've been there. They've listened to him. There's been a great moving of God, and the people have glorified God. But you know, the physical is going to take over. It's going to take over here. I mean, you're going to sit there for a while, but after a period of time, the physical is going to take over, and you're going to get tired. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get thirsty. And it wouldn't make much difference how great my oratory was or preaching, the physical is just going to finally take over, and you're going to get up and leave. And I understand that. You know, we are physical human beings. And Jesus understood that. He knew that these thousands of people had pretty well gone to the limit and things were going to happen. And he said, I can't send these people away because if I do, they don't have enough energy and strength to get to the places where they can find food. So I am going to feed them. And that brings up a question that we read this morning in Psalm 78. And that question is this: can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see, that's exactly what Jesus was proposing to do, to furnish a table in the wilderness. And these Jewish people who were with him and were here designated as his disciples, they had forgotten that God can furnish a table in a wilderness. And in our scripture reading this morning, in Psalm 78, we know that marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. And we know that he had caused waters to run down like rivers, and that they had asked him for meat. And they had asked him for bread, and God had furnished the bread and the water and the meat. And they had forgotten all of these things. And they spake against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He gave deliverance from Egypt. He gave drink from the depths. They asked for meat. And they're sort of saying, God can build a table, but can God put food on it? You know, God can call us all out here. And we know God has gotten us all out of Egypt, and we're all out here in the wilderness. And we know that God can get us all out here, and he can get us out here in the wilderness for the picnic. But can God put food on the table? There's the problem. That's the problem that the disciples had. We're all out here, and there have been a lot of wonderful things happen, but now there's a crisis. Can God meet the crisis? Can God put meat on the table? We know God can get us in a mess, don't we? You ever feel that way about it? God sure can get me in a mess. Ask the Hebrew children as they are ready to enter into the furnace. God can really get you in a mess. Ask Daniel as he's ready to go into the lion's den. God can sure set up some circumstances and get the lives of people in a mess. And I imagine we can all look around at ourselves this morning and think about it and say, God can really get us in a mess. And our own personal lives, you know, we can look at it and we can, you know, here's this, that, and the other happening to us, and we can say, boy, God sure got our life in a mess. We know God can mess it up. We know God can build a table in the wilderness, but can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God mess up our lives and then fix the mess? The question is not, can God mess up our lives? The question is, can God fix it? That's what bothers me, and that's what bothered you, and that's what's bothering the disciples here in this story this morning. Can God build a table, and can God furnish a table that is in the wilderness? Again, I would tell you that we look at things through human eyes. And what we call a mess may not be a mess at all. It may be the wilderness to which God has brought His people so that He can set a table and furnish it, so that the people will glorify Him. Now, we talked about Jesus having compassion. The Bible tells us here that God had compassion on these people. The Bible tells us their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. Now notice, for He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. Why didn't God destroy the Israelites in the wilderness who provoked Him to anger by saying, can God furnish a table? Because He knew how weak they were. He remembered they were but flesh, just a wind that passes away. And this is the kind of compassion that Jesus had for the multitude. He knew that these people were but flesh, a wind that passes away, and that they thought as humans and saw as humans, and sinful humans at that. Do you ever get disappointed maybe, or just not know how to handle a circumstance, and you're 300 or 400 miles from home? You know, it always works out this way. You go on vacation, and especially if you have children, and on the way home, I don't know what happens, but you've always got about 300 or 400 miles to go after everybody's so tired they can't stand one another. You ever been there? And then some child says, with about 300 or 400 miles left to go, and everybody's tired and worn out, and they say, I just don't understand why we can't just be home. Dad, why do you have to drive this 300 or 400 miles? Why don't you just get us home? And you don't say anything because you understand that's a child's mind. You know you got another 8 or 10 hours ahead of you. Just grind it out. their mind thinks, why can't we just be home? And I can go to bed. And you know, but as an adult, you know what the problem is. You see it. It's a physical thing. It's not magic. And in life, I think a lot of times that we are in the wilderness, and can God set a table in the wilderness, and we just like a little child say, well, God, why don't you just make it right? It's messed up. God, just make it right. And that's sort of a wish for sort of a magic thing. God knows we've got miles to go and things to do, and we're going to have to grind it out. But God understands we are but flesh. God understands we're just like the wind. And aren't you glad that God is so compassionate to us, that He does not destroy us for our foolish thinking? That God so comprehends our frame, that in the weakness of our own desire to have things easier and better and to have things more comfortable, that God doesn't deal with us according to strong people, but according to weak and fleshly people. Jesus did set a table in the wilderness. He said, how many loaves have you? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. How many people have you? 4,000 men besides women and children. So what did the people do? Verse 35 tells us that Jesus commanded the people. You know, this is not a polite request. It is an order. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. You know, a lot of times, the clue to having a problem solved is to do just what God said. And Jesus said, sit on the ground. That's how we're going to solve the problem, is by you folk sitting on the ground. Now, I imagine that the people were wanting to form themselves into platoons, battalions, companies of 100, and send out search. You know, a human mentality and thinking would have taken over, would it not? Jesus said, look, I'm going to deal with this problem. In order to deal with it, I just want you folks to sit down. That's not very complimentary to humans. And these are grown folk. And look, we're going to solve the problem. I'll deal with it, but the thing I want you to do, just sit down. We don't like that. God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's our big problem. We don't want to stand still. We don't want to sit down because we think we've got to find a solution to the problem. But I'm going to tell you what, dealing with seven fishes and a few loaves and 7,000-8,000 people, you ain't never going to work that out. Okay? You say, well, I tell you what, I can take our human mind and we can divide these fish and loaves up so that we can feed these 7,000-8,000 people. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to solve the problem by just dividing up what's there. You're going to make a lot of people mad. So Jesus said, first thing I want you people to do is just sit down. And what did the disciples do? Well, they had the bread and the fishes, and He said, give it to me. And that's the first thing you do, is give what you've got to Jesus. Let Him deal with it. He gave thanks and break it. And He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. And that's the way this whole thing works. The world out there can't do anything to save itself, and we don't have the ability to save them. But if we'll let God take us and what we have, give thanks for it, break it all up, give it back to us, we can feed the multitude. And by that I mean we can do the will of God. The end of the story, they did all eat. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And He sent away the multitude. Jesus didn't keep them there and feed them again the next day and feed them again the next day. He fed them because they needed enough energy to get where they were going. And when they got the energy to get where they were going, he sent them away. They got things to do, places to go, crops to harvest, children to care for, animals to care for. Life goes on. We can't all sit here on this mountaintop week after week, month after month. We got to get up and go and do what God has called all humans to do. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. And many times, the solution to the problem is for us to get out of the way and trust God.